I'm Carol Bleymeyer. We're here today with Mary Abajay, an organizational development consultant and Washington area business leader. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Carol.
In today's segment of The Working Life, we're going to talk about what to do when you get fired or laid off. Sometimes you know or suspect it's coming, and other times it can come completely out of the blue. So we're going to talk to Mary today about how to deal with being fired and how to handle the aftermath so that you can move forward as professionally as possible. Let's start off with talking about what you do in the moment. You got the phone call. Boss wants you to come to the office.
The door gets shut.
And the door is closed. And this isn't a layoff. You've been fired. Now, even though you may have suspected it was coming, it still can feel like a kick in the stomach. Mm-hmm. So are there some things that you should ask your boss at that moment, or should you excuse yourself and kind of give it time to sink, if you have the luxury of that? Sometimes right. They just take you and escort you out of the building.
You have 5 minutes.
Can you ask for 15 minutes to kind of absorb it and then ask some questions? What's the proper protocol?
Well, yes. I mean, if you have an inkling this may be happening, I'd make yourself a quick list of things you need to discuss. All right. And keep that in your
good
desk,
point.
Palm Pilot. It's not that many. We'll go over what they are a little bit later. But yes, the key thing here is that you need to remain as calm, cool, and collected as possible. You want to, even though you're getting fired, you want to try and preserve some semblance of a relationship with your boss, with this organization, and with this with your coworkers, because they are your biggest network and referral source and reference source. So
right.
If you need to take 15 minutes, ask for it. You may not get it, but ask for it, because your key is to be able to remain as level-headed as possible for the next conversation you need to have.
So as you're packing up your cube, you really should not be trash talking or
no.
even talking to anybody, because chances are also people probably knew it was happening and
mm-hmm.
they were told ahead of time. You didn't know, and they may be asking you questions. Do you kind of just want to keep an even keel and not
yes.
really engage in discussions at all?
Well,
or what do you with your coworkers?
If you're able to spin it, you can spin it. But most of us need a little bit of time to adjust to it. You do not rant and rave. You do not stomp around. You act as professional as possible with as much dignity as you can possibly muster. The law of primacy and recency tells us that people remember the first thing that you say or do to them and the last thing. The last image that your coworkers have of you shouldn't be one of you completely losing your cool. It
right.
should be one of dignity and professionalism.
Now, some situations when a person is fired, it may provide a severance package, or your company may ask you to sign a non-compete agreement. There might be a lot of paperwork mm-hmm. thrown at you as security is escorting you from the building. And again, this sounds really, really dramatic, but this happens in a lot of cases.
All the
even
time.
When people are just fired for performance, this is just kind of what companies
mm-hmm.
feel they have to do. So a lot of paperwork gets thrown at you as you're walking out the door. Do you have to sign these right away, or can you just say, guys, can I make an appointment to come back and do this tomorrow? This is really, I don't have a clear head. I need a day to process this. Do you have the right to ask for
yes,
that?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
And they may say no to that, but you know, you do have the right to ask for that, and you should ask for that. And this is where being calm and cool and collected is very important. Remember, your boss, the person that's firing you, is probably no more nervous and scared than you are. So the easier you make it on them, the easier it will be. There's lots
right.
of things you need to think about. You need to talk about salary. You need to talk about severance package, health insurance, 401ks, any reimbursement or education costs that are due to you, relocation costs that may be owed to you. So you have a whole laundry list of things. Oh, you also need to find out about the referral and reference policy.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the next part of this is how do you – obviously, leaving on good terms or professional
right.
terms is really important. The checklist that you've just kind of gone through of the things that you need to ask your HR rep about.
That's right.
But let's talk about how you then talk to your boss. At what point can you follow up and say, you know, I appreciate your honesty and your, you know, candor in this situation, but if I'm looking for another job, what can I count on you to say about my performance?
I see.
Can you do
immediately.
That?
Immediately.
Okay.
Absolutely immediately. If you're acting really cool about it, again, your boss doesn't enjoy this. If you're
right.
really cool about it, get them really when they're still feeling guilty and ask them directly and say, you know, what can I expect you to say? How do you want, if you really collected, how do you want to talk about this? How are we going to talk about the public announcement if you're a high up person. You really, there's lots of things you can negotiate with your boss and the HR department. And you can do that if you're calm and collected. So you may leave that day, but make an appointment with your HR department, email your boss with a really gracious email, make a call, have these conversations. They're very critical.
Well, and especially if you're going out on job interviews in the coming months, you want to be able to say and to come to some sort of mutual agreement with your prior boss to be able to say, look, our talking point for this is going to be that it just didn't work out.
That's exactly correct.
And you want to be able to say that with honesty to your future employer. And when they call your old boss, you want him to be able to say that really with honesty. And if they feel like they are not going to be able to support that, you need to know that now.
And you need your boss also to be one of your network contacts. You need your boss to be on the lookout for you because they're going to feel guilty, especially if you're laid off. They're going to feel guilty and you want them to be able to refer opportunities to you.
Right. We're here today with Mary Abajay, and we're talking about what to do when you've been fired. Let's talk about the aftermath, whether you've been fired or even layoffs. And layoffs, sometimes people think they're easier because it usually happens in a group. But
there's
I think the emotional impact is still as difficult. So that let's say it happened a week or so ago, and now you're home alone, and everybody's gone back to their daily routine. And maybe your spouse or your kids, like they're... Yeah, whatever, you got laid off, you got fired, we're tired of hearing about it. How do you handle, how do you get back in the saddle? How do you kind of get out of that rut of, I'm fired.
I'm so pathetic.
Right.
Okay, here's my deal. I think that you should give yourself 3 days to wallow. 3 days to eat candy, to vent, to rage, to stay in your pajamas, to watch Oprah in the afternoon. 3 days.
Well, let me actually ask you this at this point. What if someone doesn't wallow? What if someone just the minute they get fired, they go straight home, they get on their laptop, they start looking for a new job and they don't really spend the time. Do you also need to do it just because you need to spend the time processing?
You do because
I want to emphasize that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so if your wallow time isn't, if you're not a wallower, take 3 days to really reflect on what's next in your life. What are you trying to create? What would be a good career move? Reevaluate where you are. All right. So you've got your 3 days of wallowing or for some people non-wallowing. Then what you need to do is snap out of it. You need to get up every day and start your job. And your job, by the way, is finding a job.
Right.
So that means shower, dress, sit at your computer. You have to do your resume. I want you researching companies. I want you calling and contacting everyone on your network. Because one thing you're going to have to do is start telling everybody about your situation.
Right.
And you need to spin that story in a positive light. You need to be getting informational interviews. You should be working 9 to 5. You could take an hour out for Oprah.
Right.
But 9 to 5 looking for a job and really thinking through what you want to do.
What if your company didn't let you take your Rolodex with you? Or what if all your contact information was stored on your work computer?
Well, then you're an idiot.
A lot of people really keep everything at work that's related to work. And you could be fine. I mean, all of our companies here in the D.C. area are at-will companies. You can be let go for any reason at any time. And if you don't have everything backed up at home... That can be,
you know, and that's actually
so
a great point because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and no one is secure. I mean, a bomb could hit your office tomorrow while you're not there, you know, and lose everything. You should have all of your contacts on your own personal PDA or your own Rolodex because you spent a lifetime building these people and you're going to need to use them.
Right. Now, if you're the supervisor and you were the one who had to fire somebody, how do you communicate to your employees that a member of the team has been let go? How much detail do you give?
Again, check with your HR department first for policies because they can be pretty stickly. But I think you give as much detail as you can without bashing anybody.
Right.
And you can also use this as an opportunity to really enforce like organizational values. If someone was being fired because they really weren't living up to the organizational values, then you can say that.
Right.
You know, so use it as a teaching moment. The thing is, you have to remember is that people who aren't working on the organization are affecting the organization. So 9 times out of 10, when you get rid of a bad apple, the rest of the organization is going to be pretty happy about it.
Right. But if there's a group layoff, let's say an entire department has been let go or a function has been eliminated, I've been in organizations as a consultant where I've had to actually lead that and make that happen.
Yeah.
And you also have to take into consideration all the other groups who are left behind and their morale because they automatically are going to think, well, that's just the
first.
And
you're right. And that's it. Now, if you're talking about a massive layoff,
let's talk
or a group
about
layoff.
Layoffs and how if you're a survivor, as they say, in an organization, how do you not sort of A, feel guilty, or B, feel like, well, I'm next.
Leadership has a very, very strong responsibility to actually tend to the survivors, if you will, or those that are remaining. These people need to understand how people were chosen. Mm-hmm. And how they weren't chosen for the layoff. I mean, as much as you can tell them, they need to be reassured as much as you can about the stability, both financially, of the organization and of their positions. You need to be as honest with them as possible, and you need to tell them more than once, both in words and deeds, because this will send a shiver of fear through your organization that may take years to repair unless you can give these people as much information and reassurance as possible.
Right. And sometimes organizations can coddle too much.
Oh, yeah. You can't over-coddle.
And just have 5,000 brown bag lunches to discuss it, and it can just get to be too much. And
that's
there
exactly
has to be a
right.
point where productivity needs to get back to its appropriate standard. Now, let's say it's your partner, spouse, or really close friend who has been let go. What can you say, or what do you – they may just need an ear. Mm-hmm. They just may need you to listen. But what kind of – and I guess also if you feel like maybe it's going on too long and that's all they have to talk about is, I got fired 8 years ago.
blah, blah, blah. Snap out of it.
As a friend or a spouse or a partner, what's your role and responsibility in helping someone through this?
Well, let me offer you a really simple model that was developed by William Bridges on transitions. People, when they go through big changes like this they go through three stages of transition. The first stage is the ending. And during this stage, people are grieving. They're angry, they're upset, they're catastrophizing. It's awful. During this stage, the best thing you can do is just listen to people.
Okay.
Be empathetic. Share their anger with them. Oh, you're right. This is an outrage. Yada, yada, yada. Help them move through it by letting them be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to move, once they get rid of all that anger and that just sorrow, they're going to go into what's called the second stage, which is the neutral zone. This is where you can actually start doing something. This is when people start to look forward and they start to think, oh, maybe I can get through this.
Right.
A lot of soul searching goes on in the neutral zone. Help them with the soul searching. Tell them what they're good at.
Right.
You know, help them. And then finally, they'll move into what's called the new beginnings. And then this is when they're going to start to experiment things. They're going to start to develop strategies and make contacts. This is when you can really help them. Show them how successful they're being. Tell them how much progress they've made. Really support their ideas and decisions in this stage.
That's great advice. And that is all the time we have for today. Thank you, Mary Abajay. If you have any questions for us here on The Working Life, please contact us through Mary's blog at workingwisdom.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Blymeyer.